It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
Also with us on the line is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks, Carl. Hi, John.
Well, as I mentioned, Governor Dennis Dugard kicked off the 2015 legislative session with his State of the State address. He proposed raising taxes by about $50 million to fund road and bridge projects. He's also backing a juvenile justice reform measure. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on the governor's address yesterday?
Well, he spent a lot of time discussing what most of us going into the session thought would be sort of the prime issue, and that was the road funding issue. And if you go back and take a look at the speech, he spent a huge amount of time on that. He's addressing that, and he's coming at it after a summer committee. Really, as even the governor put it in his speech, did quote yeoman's work on, you know, getting out into the communities. And taking different ideas about what was, potential solutions to solving road funding issues, educating, I think, people in lots of different communities. I mean, they really were out statewide. So it's interesting to see, the governor then come in with his own proposal after the summer committee had submitted a fairly detailed, fairly broad, fairly expansive proposal. The governor's isn't nearly as broad as the summer committee's is. It seems to me that he's sort of right out of the gate, while he praised the summer committee, sort of submarining the plan that they came up with.
Yeah, Roger Whittle, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. The committee came up with $100 million in tax increases to pay for the roads, and the governor, who is notoriously anti-tax, is offering $50 million in new taxes, which I know a lot of people, if in the last session you would have said that the governor would offer $50 million in tax increases, that would have been unheard of. But now he is, and I think he realizes that we need to do something about the roads. He's just not willing to go as far as the committee wants to go.
Jonathan, is that surprising that the governor is willing to raise taxes and fees at least by $50 million?
It is not. It would have been if this were his first term, but he signaled even campaigning in his second term that he was willing to listen and willing to talk about potential solutions to road funding issues that included revenue increases. So, no, this is not a surprise. His plan is interesting in that he does adopt some of what the summer committee had adopted. I think the biggest revenue raiser for the Dugard plan would be an increase of the motor vehicle excise tax from 3% to 4%, which would sort of mirror the state sales tax of 4%. And that would raise, approximately $25 million, half of what the governor wanted, and then certainly about a quarter of what the state committee wanted. But interestingly, the governor is not, unlike the summer committee, the governor is not proposing a 3% wholesale gas tax, which is something, again, the summer committee did, and that, from their proposal, would have raised roughly half of what they were looking for. So, there's a lot of, I think there'll be a lot of discussion about, who had the better ideas, and I would not expect to see either the summer committee or probably even the governor's final, or what the governor recommends, as what we'll likely see passed at the end of the session.
Roger Whittle, what do you think the final legislation will look like regarding roads and bridges?
Well, Jonathan's right. It won't look anything like either of the issues brought up so far. It'll be a combination of the two, whatever we can get passed. I know the governor took out a lot of things in the committee's report that targeted farmers. The dyed diesel tax and the raising of the non-commercial vehicle fees. Those are missing from the governor's, and with the farmers being such a strong presence in the state, I don't think you will see those two particular increases in the final legislation.
One of the things that the governor didn't talk about yesterday, teacher shortages, teacher pay as well. It's been an issue talked about quite a bit over the past several months. And Roger Whittle, do you expect that this will be something taken up by lawmakers this session?
I'm sure it will. Every year we hear talk about the fact that we're the low country, and there was a lot of schools were complaining about a teacher shortage this year. But, you know, but that is not just for teachers. That's the case with pretty much every job in the state, where I think I just saw some statistics that said South Dakota's overall wages are 49th in the country. You know, not just teachers, that's all workers, behind ahead of only Mississippi. And we've also heard a lot of news lately about worker shortages in other industries, too. So I think while there will be something done to address the teacher pay and teacher shortage, I think people have to remember that it's not just a unique problem for the teachers or the schools.
Jonathan Ellis, we're just into the second day of the session. Other issues you expect lawmakers will tackle this session, that issues that weren't brought up by the governor yesterday?
Well, there are those of course always happen. I wanted to mention what Roger said is correct. I mean that, you know, the teacher issue always comes up, and whether it's pay or shortages, it's interesting to me. You know, just give you an example. Like last year, for example, I mean the legislature typically has, when they've had the money, they've typically sent some extra money to schools. And last year, I think they had an extra $2.2 million just for teacher pay. Obviously, teachers want something more permanent and something a bolder plan, but it's fair to say they've been wanting that for decades, so this is nothing new. I suspect, you know, one of the arguments that sort of free market Republicans have made in the past is that, well, you know, you'll know there's a teacher shortage, or you'll know that we're paying teachers too little when you don't have people applying for teacher jobs. And That appears, at least in some communities and in some areas, to be happening now, where there are shortages. And so, we heard the governor here beforehand say that they're trying to address that through workforce measures. So, you know, I think that issue will, as it always is, will generate a lot of discussion. Moving forward, I mean, again, there will always be sort of these issues that kind of pop up out of nowhere. There's the issue about wine being mailed to people's homes. There's all kinds of different issues that'll come up. My favorite one so far is that a measure that would allow bullhead to be used as bait fish. That's the one that's come out of left field so far.
What about for you, Roger? Are there issues that you might see come up this session?
Well, the bullhead one is a little too controversial for me, but. I was interested in his plan for the juvenile justice system. I know 2 years ago they took on the adult justice system, and I think from a state standpoint, everybody's happy with what they did. I know some of the counties are complaining that they just passed some costs down to them, but they're now trying to do the same thing with the juvenile justice. And South Dakota actually incarcerates a lot more juveniles than most states do, and 70% of them are for status offenses, things that you or I could not be put in jail for, like truancy or drinking alcohol. So they want to take a long, hard look at the money they're spending on that, and I think that would be a good thing. They seem to have done well with the adult side of it.
As a whole, looking at the governor's State of the State address, Jonathan, is that traditionally important for setting the agenda for the legislative session as a whole, or just getting the governor's agenda set?
Oh, it's extremely important, I think, in setting the agenda, and the reason why is you just have to look specifically at how the South Dakota government has been established compared to maybe other states. I mean, we have a government by the state constitution that is, you know, a powerful chief executive type arrangement, and so So you've got a legislature that is only around for a couple of months, really, and so it really is up to the governor to set the agenda, and it's even more it's a more powerful position for the governor when he enjoys such great majorities within the legislature of his own party.
Roger, do you expect the governor's second term to be that much different from his first?
Well, I think that depends what you mean by different. Mm-hmm. I think we have a different set of circumstances this year or this term than we have in his first term. I think he'll always be the same person. I think that he generally looks to do what is best for the country and for the state, and puts that ahead of any party ideology. So while he might act a little differently, I don't think we're going to see a different governor.
Well, moving on beyond the legislative session, on Monday, a U.S. District Judge struck down South Dakota same-sex marriage ban as unconstitutional, although the judge put a hold on her ruling. Attorney General Marty Jackley said the state will appeal the case, while an attorney for couples trying to overturn the state's ban says he plans to challenge the hold. With 36 states now allowing same-sex marriages, how likely is it, Jonathan, that South Dakota will be one of them?
Well, I've got to think that at some point that the Supreme Court, which I think has passed on this issue, is going to have to take up the issue at some point. I mean, there are so many, they're competing, rulings now, which is, usually when the Supreme Court gets involved in something as controversial as this. I guess my hunch is, and I'm, not, just the way things have been moving forward, I would have to say that eventually, South Dakota is going to be, and potentially all the states are going to be allow this. So, that's just the way that it seems to me that the momentum on this issue has been carrying.
Roger Whittle, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree totally. It's just a matter of time before it's legal in every state, and I think for states to be spending money fighting it now, it might be a little of a waste of money because, like I say, eventually it's going to be legal.
What happens then once, if the U.S. Supreme Court rules on this, will it, and it becomes legal nationwide, if that's the case, what happens with this issue, Roger? Is it resolved, or is it going to be just one of those things that people will be discussing as a social issue for some time yet?
Oh, I think people will be discussing it for a while. When the Supreme Court said abortion was legal, that didn't put an end to that issue by any means.
Moving on to another story. Earlier this week, Human Rights Watch released a report saying that millions of dollars meant for water projects, economic development, and other services for the Lower Brule Sioux Reservation disappeared. The report blames longtime Lower Brule Chairman Michael Jandrew for his and his political allies for diverting money and withholding basic government documents from the public and hiding their activities. In a release, the tribal chairman called the report baseless. Jonathan Ellis, you wrote a story on this. How troubling is this report, and does it take an outside organization to find out what's happening with the tribal government?
Well, it is troubling. I mean, the documentation that went along with this report was quite extensive. And really, I think the question is, what's going to happen next in terms of, is there going to be outside investigations? And according to the Human Rights Watch, I mean, their report and I think their investigation has, in fact, there's some documentation within the report that would indicate that, yes, there already is, if not one, a couple of criminal investigations inquiries underway about what's going on, specifically with some of the finances and a loan guarantee. So it is certainly troubling without saying somebody's guilty. It raises a lot of red flags, and you talk about whether or not an outside investigation, this outside organization. I mean, Human Rights Watch is very well respected in terms of work it does on behalf of people, certainly in third world countries, and it's just and to see it at work here investigating, a tribe is really quite amazing, actually. They have the resources that, they put in 2 years on this report, and they have the resources to kind of, sit and just peel away the layers on the onion here and come up with, an idea of what's going on financially, because it is not easy to come up with that information. I mean, you can call the Bureau of Indian Affairs all day long, and you're not going to get callbacks. You're probably not going to have. You're going to have to fight with them over freedom of information requests. I mean, so really, what they've done is quite extraordinary in terms of this report.
Roger Whittle, have you had an opportunity to read anything regarding this Human Rights Watch report?
I have read. I've read a little bit of the report, and I've read all the coverage about it. It is a huge issue. This is a very small reservation. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's less than 2,000 people living on the reservation. We're talking millions and millions of dollars that are supposedly missing, one of the poorest areas in the country. So it's definitely troubling.
Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. Roger, I'm going to thank you for taking the time to talk with us on the program today.
My pleasure.
And Jonathan, thanks for your time as well.
Hey, thanks, Carl.